Miles Lord came from modest Iron Range roots to end up as one of the most prominent and powerful judges in America. You probably remember his landmark case involving the Dalcon Shield birth control device or the Reserve Mining case right here on the shore. He was colorful, controversial, and fearless. Roberta Walburn, a Minneapolis attorney who clerked for Judge Lord, has written a wonderful biography of this unique man, and she joins us now by phone. Welcome, Roberta.
Thank you, Annie.
Thank you for being here. Well, you clerked for Judge Lord during the height of the Dalcon Shield case, but before that you were a reporter for the Star Tribune. It's such a great story. Will you share how you came to work with the judge?
Yes, I will, and it's gives you a good indication of what the judge was all about. I was working for the Minneapolis Tribune and going to law school during the day and working at night, and I one night wrote a story about one of Judge Lord's decisions. And he called me up the next day at about 5 in the morning, waking me up. I had been dead asleep because I was working late into the evenings. And I woke up, and here's a federal judge screaming at me, telling me that I'd screwed up the story, that I got the facts wrong, that I got the law wrong, and that he was going to ruin my journalism career. And I struggled to wake up and get it together, and finally I asked him, you know, can you tell me exactly what was wrong with the story so we can correct it? At which point the judge started laughing and said, no, the story was fine. I just want to know if you want to be my law clerk after you graduate. So that was my introduction to the judge. Never a dull moment with him.
No doubt. Well, I got to say, you were kind of brave to move forward after that introduction.
I did think about it a little bit, but Judge Lord was such a legend, especially among journalists, because he was such great copy all the time, that it was an opportunity that I really couldn't pass up.
Right. Well, what was it like working for him, Roberta? Will you tell us a couple stories to describe sort of the mood and the scene in his offices and courtroom?
Yeah, so the judge, as with most judges, had a very small staff, a couple law clerks and a couple secretaries, and he really treated us like we were friends and family. But he was incredibly hardworking, and even though he liked to have fun, incredibly serious about his mission, which he viewed as nothing less than saving the world. He believed, from listening to sermons growing up in Crosby, Ironton, that he was his brother's and his sister's keeper, and he vowed that when he was on the bench, he was going to do everything in his power to even the playing field for the little guy. So, you know, we really, working for the judge, felt a sense of mission, that we were out there to help make the world a better place, which is the best job in the world that you could have.
Yeah, it is. It makes it exciting to get up every morning.
Right.
Well, I mean, I remember, knowing of him as an advocate for the little guy, and I know that at the same time it made him great, it also got him into hot water occasionally.
Right. He was extremely controversial, and there was really no middle ground in terms of how people viewed the judge. Many people viewed him as a hero. Some viewed him as a villain. He was named both one of the best judges in the country and one of the worst, all in the span of a single year. And it'd be pretty easy to tell who would be on each side of the divide. If you were, an ordinary person without a lot of money, who ended up in court, Judge Lord was your hero. If you were a big corporation that had injured people or a big firm lawyer representing one of those corporations, Judge Lord would be a villain. So there was a very stark divide.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, the cases that made him the most famous was the Dalcon Shield birth control device that was manufactured by A.H. Robbins in Virginia. And for those who aren't familiar with that, Roberta, could you just give a brief explanation of what the issue was and why Judge Lord was hearing these cases?
Sure. The Dalcon Shield was the best-selling IUD in the country in the early 1970s. Millions sold in the U.S. and all around the world. But despite its widespread use, it had a flaw, which was a multifilament tail string that wicked bacteria up into the uterus, and it caused horrendous infections. Tens of thousands of women lost their fertility. Some died. And the litigation had started in the early 1970s in front of other judges. And for more than a decade, the company, which was a Fortune 500 company based in Richmond, Virginia, was really creating a litigation quagmire. It hired more than 100 law firms around the country and was spending millions of dollars on attorneys and really bogging the cases down. And coincidentally, when my clerkship started in 1983, Judge Lord was assigned his first Alcon Shield cases, 21 cases. And the short story is that after a decade or more of stonewalling, in 3 short months, Judge Lord essentially blew the cases out of the water.
And I know that he became very famous for the speech that he gave in the courtroom aimed at the A.H. Robbins executives. And when I read the speech, the full text of which I believe is in your book, I think that was the whole text.
Not quite the whole text, okay. But a big part of it.
Okay.
Yes.
That was the essence to me of what you're conveying about him in your book. And I'm wondering if you might read a small section from that speech for our listeners, because it's quite moving.
Yeah. Yes. Judge Lord knew how to write, knew how to speak, and many people thought he would have been as good a preacher as he was a judge. And just to set the scene quickly, this was at the last Alcon Shield hearing in front of Judge Lord, and he requested that 3 of the top officers of the A.H. Robbins Company appear in front of him. He wanted to plead with them to recall the device and to compensate the women who'd been injured. And the speech was directed at the 3 gentlemen, but it was also directed at the public because the judge believed that if he could reach the public and get the public to understand what was going on in these kinds of cases, he could get the public on his side and the courts would come around. And he was right about that. So here's a little bit of the speech. I must resort to moral persuasion and a personal appeal to each of you. Would you believe it, gentlemen? I am not angry with you. I don't dislike you personally. I am not happy with some of the things you have done. I would really like to talk you into doing this. It's just awful, and you can't get hung up on that corporate thing. You can't worry about whether or not stocks are going to drop. You've got lives out there, people, women, wives, moms, and some who will never be moms. Can't you move in on this thing now? You are the people with the power to recall. You are the corporate conscience. Please, in the name of humanity, lift your eyes above the bottom line.
I love that last line.
Yeah, and the speech went, as we would say today, it went viral. It was reprinted verbatim in newspapers and magazines across the country and the Congressional Record, and it really helped turn the tide in that litigation. It also got the judge hauled up on judicial misconduct charges.
Right, which eventually, how did they turn out?
The charges were dismissed, but the Eighth Circuit struck the speech from the formal record, even though it had been so widely reprinted around the country.
Mm-hmm. If you just join us, we're speaking with Roberta Waldburn. She's an attorney and author who has just written a wonderful biography of Miles Lord called Miles Lord, the Maverick Judge Who Brought Corporate America to Justice. You're listening to North Shore Community Radio, broadcasting at 90.7 FM WTIP Grand Marais, 90.1 FM WGPO Grand Portage, 89.1 FM WKEK Gunflint Lake, and on the web at WTIP.org. Well, Roberta, how common is that kind of advocacy and passion from a judge today? I mean, it was such a different time then, and even then he was unusual.
Right. He was one of a kind back then, and there's really no one like him today. You know, it's a minor miracle that even back then, Judge Lord was able to secure a presidential appointment to be a federal judge. It was because he had close friendship with Hubert Humphrey and Eugene McCarthy. And today it just would be, I think, virtually impossible for someone as outspoken as Judge Lord and with those kinds of views to be appointed to the bench.
Mm-hmm. How did his approach to his work and his mission shape you as a lawyer and as a person? It must have been just extremely inspiring to work with him.
It was inspiring. It was awesome. It had a profound effect on my life and my career. I was really not even thinking of practicing law, even though I was in law school. I was intending to use my law degree to help my journalism. But seeing the judge's passion and seeing how powerful the courts could be, in protecting the rights of everyone made me want to give it a try when I got out of law school and after I finished my clerkship.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, you must do a great deal of writing in your work as an attorney. This is your first book?
It is my first book. I always wanted to write a book. It just took me about 30 years to free up the time to come around and get back to writing.
Well, it's so great, and it's such a page-turner. You have plans to write any more?
I do want to write more. I don't know exactly what that means yet, but it's very rewarding. Even though I obviously knew so much about the judge when I sat down to do this, I still spent several years researching his background and getting more in depth on some of his bigger cases because I really wanted to go in depth in telling the story and not just making it from what I observe, but from also what I could find out in my research about the judge.
Yeah, and you really did. I mean, all the stuff about him growing up on the range and boxing and fighting, and it really sets the scene for him as a fighter for the underdog.
Yes, his childhood growing up on the range had such a huge impact on the man and the judge he would become. He came from a very poor family, the eighth of nine children to survive in a household where there was food on the table, but mittens and coats had to be shared among the kids. Sometimes they had to skip school days because it wasn't their day to have a coat. And he really took to heart that kind of upbringing to vow that he was going to fight for the little guy his whole life. And he was, as you say, he was a fighter in as a boy. He grew up street fighting and then going on to be a Golden Gloves fighter. But he took that fighting persona and that fighting character onto the bench with him. He was a fighter in every sense of the word.
Mm-hmm. And he just passed away last year, is that right?
He did, just about 1 year ago at age 97.
I understand that you had great access from the family to his records and so forth?
I did. I mentioned earlier the research I did, and part of that was his daughters had moved him out of his house a few years ago and put all of his personal papers into a bunch of boxes and put them in a storage room. And they gave me unrestricted access to that. By that I mean they would not have the authority to edit the book in any way because I wanted to make this not an approved biography, but something that where I would be able to go wherever the research took me. And that that storage room was really a gold mine. It had his personal papers. It had letters between him and Hubert Humphrey during the 1968 presidential campaign. It had his dictations. He would dictate his thoughts contemporaneously during many of his big cases. So it was really just a great resource for me to be able to tap.
Yeah, it sounds that way. Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us and for providing such a great portrait of such an interesting person and such an interesting part of Minnesota history.
Yeah, he cut a wide swath through not only Minnesota, but U.S. history.
Yes, he did. Thank you so much, Roberta. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. That was Roberta Walburn. She is an attorney and author of the new book, Miles Lord, The Maverick Judge Who Brought Corporate America to Justice.